Welcome to Read It Reddit. We will be reading from r/tales from the front desk. Our first post is by mfreeman33. Hi, all. I thought I would share a story today about one of our patients who always gives me stories to tell. To start off, this patient is habitually late to every single appointment. She does not work and admits that she waits till the last minute to get up and get ready. We cannot see patients who are more than 5 minutes late because we are fully booked, therefore we reschedule them. About 5 minutes before every single appointment, she will call and say, "Hey, it's me. I'm going to be about 10 to 15 minutes late, just letting you know," when she knows that we cannot see her that late. We have rescheduled this lady about 5 to 6 times. Today she was scheduled to come in at 10:45, as per, she calls at 10:41, and says she's going to be late. We tell her we will have to reschedule, and this woman really says, "Can't you just call one of your afternoon patients and tell them to switch appointments with me?" What? Yes, let me call our 2 o'clock patient and ask them to be here in 4 minutes, because you can't be on time. It does not work that way, lady. The question was so insanely jaw-dropping that I had to share. Edit, just wanted to say thank you for all the comments and upvotes. You guys are awesome. Our next post is by Omega Lantern. So I have been seeing a couple posts lately about entitled daddy's girls and the problems they cause. Those reminded me of this story. This took place about 3 years ago, but still gets my blood boiling whenever I remember it, not only because of her brattiness, but also how my spineless managers threw me under the bus without a second thought. This girl, her daddy booked a Spisabrine reservation for her. She came in, by herself, after midnight. She was 17. That's 17. Not only was she too young to stay with us, because of our alcohol liability, she wasn't even a legal adult. And daddy was on the other side of the country. She claimed she had 2 guys coming to stay with her, both over 21, but didn't know when they would be here. I refused service to her, so she called her daddy, who cussed me out over the phone and threatened my life. He was supposedly some politician out on the West Coast. I had never heard of the Doucher bag though, so if he was genuinely in politics, he was a bit player at best. As soon as he did that, I told him I was cancelling the reservation altogether and reporting them to Spisabrine, and hung up on him. Well, Princess didn't like commoners not bowing down and kissing her and Dada's feet, so what did she do? She called the fucking cops. Cops came, and jokes on her, not only did they not bully me into letting me stay like she expected, this city has a curfew for anyone under 18, she was not legally allowed to be traveling past 10 p.m. She called daddy again, all teary-eyed, who, in his unending wisdom, tried to threaten the cops too. When that didn't work, daddy dearest called around, and found a place he could bully into letting his underage daughter stay. I gave her a cheery wave as she left with a police escort to the new place. I thought that was the end of it. But nope. Politician daddy called the next day and apparently spent half an hour bitching out my grams. I walk in that night and see an email from her and my our lady telling me that not only had they decided to let the brat stay for the original length of the reservation, but because daddy was also a diamond member, they gave them a week of free nights and free food for the brat's stay. They also told me that, if I saw her again, I was to personally apologize and to act incredibly humble. I went nuclear on them both. I told them there was no way in fuck I was going to apologize for following not only corporate policy, but the damn law as well. Luckily, I didn't see the little bitch for the rest of her stay. Our next post is by Mikiel. Clickbait title, because this is mostly a copy paster of a post I made on r/nick that got removed by the mods with no explanation. They clearly don't want you to know. I've had some sleep in the hotel where I work since I've posted it, so I'll try to make some slight amendments for coherence, the original. I be will sticking with the angry and vituperation laden language here, so if you're sensitive to curse words, go bugger off. Now, without further preamble, Here is the story. I work in a hotel in New York City. That is one of a tiny handful that have remained open the entire pandemic. We are one of the very few still around. We are trying our best to weather the storm, but sadly, about 80% of our staff were laid off as a result. As you may or may not be aware, Governor Cuomo has issued travel restrictions and quarantine requirements for 19 states traveling to New York, which includes Florida. Since the restrictions, I have had to check in 4 fucking entitled fucks from Florida, one of which was legitimately named Karen. Everyone checking in has signed an affidavit stating that they have or have not just come from one of those 19 forbidden zones. Only Florida has managed to show the fuck up, and not just once, but 4 fucking times in the last week. Fuck you, Florida. Now, I can hear the defensive gears grinding away, but it's okay, right? So long as they quarantine for 14 days. Yes, this is correct. Tell me, Florida, how are you supposed to quarantine for 14 days when your reservation is only for 3 days? Oh, you're here to visit your daughter, you say? How does that make it better? Oh, you're here to see a doctor? Remember the part where it's stated there are no medical exemptions? Remember that? I'm so fucking pissed right now. I check this fucking dude in. I see a Florida license. He's with his 10-year-old daughter. I say, did you come in from Florida? He proudly says yes. You know that you have to quarantine for 14 days, right? He once again, beaming, says yes. You know that your reservation is only for 1 day, right? By leaving tomorrow, you break quarantine and I have to contact the Department of Health covered task force, right? Without missing a beat, Mr. Florida gleefully assures me, yeah, that's fine. Is it possible to give fewer than 0 fucks? Do I owe him fucks? I think I owe him fucks. The last idiot from Florida broke quarantine less than 1 hour after checking in. This ignorant clod. He managed to hold it down for about 2. I see this dickhead casually waltz out the front entrance with his kid, no mask, despite signs about needing a mask in the hotel, plastered all over the fucking place, and blissfully mention getting pizza with his daughter. No more than 10 minutes later, he comes back in, no pizza, heads straight to his room. Sure as something really fucking sure, he comes right back down with renewed vigor and fully masked up. You got denied your fucking pizza, didn't you, you fucking gator fucker? I have been essential since the beginning. I never lost my job. Meanwhile, nearly all of my coworkers are gone, union jobs too. Some of them left the country and said they're never coming back. Others are worried about the unemployment running out. I'm here, exposing myself to the dumbest fucking pile of entitled Floridians for the same, actually sort of decent, pay, day in and day out. I'm worried that, when I get sick, I either don't die, or recover before the FMLA covered pay coverage runs out. That's right, when. Not if, because fucking Florida people keep fucking my shit up. Oh, and as a point of comparison, a guy from Delaware called. He said he booked the hotel, and about an hour later Cuomo banned his state. He said he needed to cancel. He booked a non-refundable advance pay rate. I refunded him. Thanks, Delaware man. And a week before that, same story, but with California. Thanks, California man. I'll see you both when this is all over. As for Florida? Asinine fatuity would be my only explanation. Postmortem, I want to address a few things here, based on comments from my original post that may come up again. Someone suggested the hotel require negative COVID tests presented at check-in. I'm certain this would be a HIPAA violation, but even if it wasn't, it's just not feasible. The hotel is barely clinging on, as I'm sure many in the industry are, and making it further complicated to check, it will hurt the bottom line. In other words, we close the hotel and we all lose our jobs. One user asked, why did they remove the original post? I wish I knew. Another said that laws that can't be enforced are just wishes. Right, you are. This isn't about the law though, it's about respect for your fellow man. But you are completely correct, and that is the reason for the rant. Nothing can be done. People that said to call 911 or 311, we are instructed to inform the New York Department of Health covered task force. That's what we are told to do, and it's way above my station to start trying to escalate beyond that. Staying employed is the name of the game these days, folks. To those who said something along the lines of people on r/Nick are being paranoid, everyone is more relaxed in other states, or Florida hasn't had a day of deaths close to New York City yet. First of all, fuck you. Just fuck you. We suffered our major outbreak of deaths already, and don't you fucking dare sully the memory of those people by saying your state isn't as bad. Fuck you. You don't have nearly the population density, you don't have nearly the diversity of people and culture, you don't have nearly reliance on public transport. Florida has a density of 348 people per square mile. We have over 27,000 per square mile. We are not even playing the same game as you, so fuck you. Edit, thank you, Tennessee man. I just tried to check you in, and you said there is no way I can do these quarantine restrictions. Can I cancel and find other accommodations? Yes, you can. So thanks for being a team player. For your cooperation, I refunded your otherwise non-refundable rate. Edit part dukes, for those saying that not everyone in Florida is a gator fucker or similarly gator fucker comparable human, I hear ya. Unfortunately, the only people I'm going to come into contact with are the people who indeed fuck gators. Intellectually, I can make this distinction, but then the rant isn't nearly as funny. If you are feeling attacked here, just remember that we have to suffer Bill fucking de Blasio. So go ahead and take your shots. Edit part 100, this post blew up quite a bit, so thank you to everyone who stopped by to read my rant. I really hope you got some laughs out of this. I'd like to extend an even bigger thank you to all the essentials out there, but in particular my fellow hotel workers. The hospitality industry relies on so many of us low skill types, but we really are what make the hotels function. I've worked with movie stars in the making, musicians who could be or once were, scholars who were roped in by the golden handcuffs, and just good old-fashioned hard workers who know the merits of an honest paycheck. Florida, New York and everywhere in between, all jokes aside, I want you all to be happy and safe. Now that the sappy shit is out of the way. If anyone seriously thinks that a mask is hindering your freedom, just walk yourself through this little thought experiment, would you? What freedom, exactly, do you think is being infringed upon? Your freedom to potentially infect others? Do you honestly believe that wearing a mask can give you respiratory complications? If you were to have major surgery performed on you, would you prefer your doctor wear their mask or not wear one? Have you ever been to Asia? Have you seen an entire culture who, even before the pandemic, that has a deep-rooted social pressure to wear a mask if they are sick? Have you noticed Japan recently? Have you noticed a country the size of 1/26th the United States, but with 50% of the US population has only 20,000 confirmed deaths to date? Imagine putting the one half of the population of the United States into California, except that California would be 80% uninhabitable mountain. That's Japan 50% of the US into 20% of California. 20,000 confirmed deaths to date. How could that be? It would be fucking masks and social distancing, you fucking imbecile. Stay the fuck at home. Our next post is by Jamodony. Usually when I get this kind of call they like to beat around the bush a bit, but this guy was straight to the point. Even interrupting my hello thank you for calling, spiel. Is your hotel owned by an American? And you could hear the hate in his tone. Yes sir. Not managed by non-Americans either, correct, gritting my teeth yes. No foreigners at all, right? As much as I wanted to hang up on this man, I could get in trouble for that. But I thought the next best thing would be making his pockets hurt as much as possible. Giving his money over to a foreigner would be his ultimate fear I imagine. No sir, we are run by an American citizen I said gruffly. Oh good. Well I have my card ready. I quote this man the most expensive king suite. I'm a senior. Do you have any better discounts? Oh no sir, I'm sorry but only the senior qualifies for one night, lie. Oh okay. When this man comes down the next day, after he checks in, and accuses the front desk girl of lying to him straight to my Indo-American boss face, while he's pouring him a fresh cup of joe. I can't wait until my boss shatters this man's reality, and informs him that I didn't lie, and that his skin color doesn't mean that he is not American. I look forward to a scathing Google review in the following days. Our next post is by Koskany. This got me fucking livid right now. I just finished talking to the local PD, Texas, about an our guest that checked out, and called them, because no one is enforcing the mask mandate. This pissed me off for a couple of reasons, but first and foremost, we fucking are enforcing the mask mandate. In fact, the very same people that complained were told to wear a fucking mask. It'll start with the conversation with the guests. L. Entitled Lady M. Entitled Mammy. Baby Walrus OGC. One Good Cop GM. General Motors. So, this starts out early in the morning, literally as soon as my shift starts. There's a mask mandate that went into effect in Texas as of Friday. Any county with 20 or more C0VID cases must follow the mandate. Masks are required in any public space, including businesses, where social distancing is not possible. So, when I come in, I immediately see L and M getting food without freaking masks on. Our hotel standards still allow us to have a buffet, one of the few, but we have a housekeeper standing by sanitizing literally everything after it's been touched by even on guest. So, as I have been with every other guest, I go up and politely inform them that they are required to wear a mask, but we will not be forcing them to put one on, since the lobby was empty at the time, and they could still reasonably social distance. They reluctantly agreed with what I said, and I thought that was that. A couple of hours later, they come to the desk to check out, and the following conversation ensues. L. Excuse me, I just wanted to let you know that we are going to have to file a complaint. Almost 100 actually. Me. Oh. Something that I can help with. M. Well, we noticed that you guys just aren't enforcing the mask laws, and none of your employees are wearing masks. Frankly, we just do not feel safe here, and we are going to have to file a complaint. Me. Oh, well, as you can see, we actually do have signs posted everywhere, and as I did with you this morning, I'm going up to guests without masks to remind them about the mandate. I cannot physically force a mask on people, so it can be a little challenging for us to get them to wear one. L. Yeah, I know, but rules are rules, and we do not feel safe here. Me. Okay, well, do what you feel you need to do, and we'll see you next time equals 3. They finally left after this, and I, like a dumbass, again thought that was that. Only to have a cop show up at my desk not even an hour after they left. Here's our conversation. Me. Good morning, ma'am. How can I help you? OGC. Well, I'll be honest, I'm here because a report was filed that you guys aren't following the mask mandate, and that none of your employees are wearing masks or informing your guests about the mandate. Me. Well, as you can see, I do have signs posted everywhere. I myself am wearing a mask, and housekeeper walks to the desk at this point. As you can see, all of our employees also have masks, so I'm not sure why anyone would complain. OGC, we actually got a call from someone claiming their parents stayed at the hotel and they didn't see anyone following the ordinance. Me. Ah, I know exactly who it was, older white couple. OGC, I have no idea, I didn't actually speak to or see them. We got the call from the son. Me. Gotcha. Yeah, it was definitely them. They were upset because I told them to wear a mask, but they didn't see me do this with anyone else. Though every single guest that comes in or down without a mask is reminded about the ordinance. Actually, here's my GM. My GM was walking back inside after walking the property. GM, good morning, is everything okay? OGC repeats everything she just told me. GM, that's ridiculous, we're all wearing masks and have signs posted everywhere. OGC, oh I know, at this point I can obviously tell it was all bogus, but we have to respond to every call. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day. At this point, OGC left property. The fucking audacity of people, man. This is fucking ridiculous. How are you guys handling the mask mandates in your hotels? Our next post is by Mabesha Smulting. Tales from assisted living. Working the front desk taught me that a disturbingly high number of people have absolutely no concept of boundaries or personal space. Especially where food is involved. Relevant background info. It took serious effort to reach over to my desk from the lobby area. The counter around my desk was quite high, with the exception of a small portion to my left which was lower to accommodate people in wheelchairs. The monitors for the security cameras blocked a good portion of that lower section. There was a cafe just off the lobby that was stocked with snacks and drinks for residents and guests to help themselves to. Occasionally we would put out a candy dish right next to the sign-in books at the front desk, but that was the only time that there was food up for grabs anywhere near me. Despite this, people still somehow managed to swipe food that was obviously not meant for them straight off my desk, shamelessly, on a regular basis. It happened more times than I care to count, but there are three times that really stand out as being especially insane. The candy dish incident. I can't remember why, but my manager told me to put the candy dish out of reach for the rest of the day. So I took it away from its spot near the sign-in books, and put it on my desk among the cluster of wires, business cards, and security monitors. In retrospect, I should have put it in a drawer or something, but it was out of reach, and, I thought, out of sight, so I figured it was good enough. A few hours later, out of the corner of my eye I saw a hand stretching out into my space. I looked up to see some guy who was there for a tour helping himself to a Hershey's Kiss. I just kind of looked at him, and he proceeded to tell me I'm stealing a kiss from you, and winked while ogling me. I still kind of regret not chucking the dish at his head for that. The cookie incident. There was some big networking event coming up, and one of the sales directors asked me to help put together the bags they would be giving out. In addition to brochures and random branded junk, they wanted me to include cookies wrapped in a festive baggie tied off with ribbon. So that night, I had a platter of cookies, a pile of bags, and a bunch of ribbon on my desk. The unwrapped cookies were directly in front of me, with the wrapped pile off to my right. One of the particularly obnoxious family members walked by my desk, saw the cookies, and the bags and ribbons, reached over the desk, over my computer, picked up a cookie, and took a bite. I must have given him a look, because he then asked if the cookies were not meant for everyone. I told him that the cookies in the cafe 10 feet away from him were for everyone, but no, the cookies on my desk were not. So, he put the cookie back. After his grimy hands were all over it, and after he'd taken a bite, just put it right back on the tray with all the others. This was not a resident suffering from dementia, folks. This was a visitor who definitely should have known better. And finally, the you could hear a great drop and hear incident. I brought a tote bag to work with me every day, which I used to carry bottled water, a cardigan, a book, and food. On the day in question, the only food I'd brought with me was a Ziploc bag full of grapes. I'd been going through a rough time, and when that happens I completely lose my appetite. Grapes were one of the few foods I could stomach at that particular time. My bag was on my desk by the security monitors, but I hadn't taken anything out of it yet. I was talking to my manager and one of my coworkers at the other end of my desk when they very suddenly stopped talking, and a look of shock came over them. I turned around to see a visiting nurse practitioner eating my fucking grapes. She had reached into my bag, which was obviously my own personal bag, grabbed the grapes, and decided to help herself. She ate a few before she noticed that we were all silently staring at her. Aren't these for everyone? No, no they're not. Oh, I thought they were there for everyone. She laughed and grabbed a handful to take with her before handing what was left of the bag back to me. Didn't even apologize. It was a while before the rest of us snapped out of our stunned silence. Funny enough, none of the residents ever did anything like that. It's a sad state of affairs when even 90-year-olds who don't know where they are at least have more awareness of boundaries than the visitors do. Our next post is by SKWRLTEL. Some folks just can't be told they can't do something. Tonight, gentle readers, we shall speak of someone whose stubborn refusal to accept the rules transcends common sense and decency. Whose version of reality I would describe as a realm of pure fantasy, except that doing so might annoy Buttercup, our resident unicorn. Oh, you've dealt with her too? Small world. Just as an aside, your humble narrator has been trying to figure out a good neutral term for the person demanding to see the manager. I've been workshopping customer rights advocate, but feel it's a bit long for casual use. That said, Irene is part of the contingent of homeless people who have been staying with us for about 3 months now. It's a simple arrangement, designed to help isolate them from the virus. As such, one of the rules is no visitors. Period. End of discussion. After all, if you're bringing folks to your room, there's no point in giving you the room, right? Irene is one of those homeless people whom you might not realize is unhoused. Maybe a bit of extra junk in her truck, but otherwise clean and coherent. The sort of person who is just having a rough patch on their lives, needing just a little help to get back on their feet. The sort of person whom you might wonder why they are out and on the streets at all. Gentle readers, I no longer question why Irene is out on the streets. For the first month of this project, Irene was a model tenant. No problems, no issues, no complaints. All good. After a while though, things changed. There was a vibe, a certain undefined sketchiness, that many of my fellow front desk agents will be familiar with. Nothing concrete, but enough to make the spider senses tingle, you know? It seems that after Mike got the boot, Irene let him sleep in her car. I will remind folks that we kicked Mike out because he turned his room into a meth party room and demolished everything in it. As a result of her gesture, Mike fixated on her as well, because Mike is like that. Half the times we caught Mike in the building, he was pounding on Irene's door screaming profanity at her. Mike is not a nice guy. Stay away from drugs, kids. We felt really bad for Irene, that she had to put up with this sort of crap. But we knew something was up when we were going through the tapes to find out how Mike was getting into the building. It turned out Irene was deliberately propping the side door to sneak her friends into her room. Not okay. But then things came to a head last week. You may remember that I almost did something horrible to Mike. Well, immediately after that incident, like, still breathing hard from running immediately, there was another problem. It's 4 in the morning and 3 teenage girls come to the door. Something else SKWRL has gone back to the darkness from whence it came, but I'm still wound up. Which room were they in again? Ah. Irene's room. Sorry girls, but per the policy for program, that room is not permitted to have visitors. Oh, it's okay, I'm her daughter, so just give me a key. Unfortunately, that still isn't allowed. I can call the room, and she can meet you in the lot. Oh, she's not there right now. Yet you thought you could just get into her room? I'm sorry, but she's not here and isn't allowed to have visitors when she is. I'm afraid I'll have to ask you girls to leave. Come on, we can call Kaoka to let us in. They leave, and I'm rather stunned. They know one of my Kaokas well enough to have her number and know that she'll ignore the rules for her? I mean, Kaoka is probably the absolute worst we have currently. She'll put up the away from the desk sign and hide in the back room until her shift ends. She's probably why a lot of the shenanigans around here have got as bad as they did. Doesn't care, not her problem, not gonna deal with it. But surely she wouldn't. Ahh, nope, there's the phone. It's Kaoka. She's saying yeah, they're okay, you can let them in. I will remind that this is right after the incident with Mike, and I can hear the hinges on the door to the dark place creaking a little as I tell her through clenched teeth that no, it is not okay, and I will not be letting them in. GRR. Your humble narrator was more than a little annoyed at this circumvention of my authority, as well as violating the project rules and weakening the security of the hotel in general. This was very much not okay, and I was very much not okay with it. Irene came in about 10 minutes later. She's in full customer rights advocate mode, upset that we won't let random strangers into her room at 4 in the morning. Why won't you give my daughter a key? As I told your daughter, no visitors are permitted. I indicate the set of rules for the project taped to the plexiglass to my right. She's not a visitor, she's my daughter. No. She's not the person the room is assigned to, she is not on the list, she is a visitor. She cannot come in, and her friend sir say she's not a visitor, she's my daughter, she repeats, it doesn't count because she's family. I told her she could stay here. With all due respect, which is at this point rapidly dwindling, you cannot do that. It will be in violation of the terms of your stay here. You could lose your room. PFFT. Whatever. It only matters to you. Come on, girls. With that, she flounced off to her room. It was a good flounce too. Had the hair toss and everything. I was of course quite angry. Honestly not as angry as I thought I would be, I must have burned all that off dealing with Mike. Still, very much done. So. I texted my manager, let him know what had happened, and that I was pretty ticked off about the whole thing. He texted me the next afternoon, saying that the manager of the project had had a loud argument with Irene. That Irene had been given a final warning on the matter. And that she wasn't to have any visitors, at all, period. Three guesses what happened my next shift. This time it's her husband. He is not on the list. It's really not hard to get on the list. Just gotta clear it with the project folks. But he's not, so I tell her he can't be here. She basically bluffs, saying that yes, she totally got permission for him to be here, no really. I tell her that no, this is not the case, there is no permission, he is not on the list, he cannot be here. This triggers a full freaking meltdown. There is yelling and screaming, demands that I call the manager right now, get him on the phone, etc. She proceeds to scream at me, that I don't have the authority, to tell her what to do, that she's going to call the project manager, that she has the email giving her permission right here, and that she's going to call the cops, and get me fired for this, blah blah blah. Yeah. Full customer rights advocate mode. After a good half hour of argument, I finally give up. I cannot stop you from letting him into your room. But if you do that, you will lose your room. You will be back on the streets, and the placement project will never work with you again, because you've shown you cannot follow the rules. Good night, sleep well. It is now my turn to flounce away. With the hair toss. She was evicted from the room at noon that day. Buttercup sends love, and sparkles to any of my fellow deskers who may need them, and strong drinks in one of those St. Bernard casks to those who need a bit more. Hang in there everyone. Teal dear, who got a workout with this one, it originally had all the dialogue, and was twice as long, shell to guest breaks the rules, goes full screaming tantrum when told she can't, breaks the rules again, loses her room. Our next post is by Pelletown Champ. Why does every random person off the street think I have some magical rate I can give them just because they asked for it? No, I'm not going to give you a room for a flat $50 a night, and yes, $96.86 is the best I can do. No, I cannot change that. No, you being a member of whatever club does not affect the price. Yes, maybe the hotel down the street can do better than I can. Why don't you go ask them? I had a guy come ask for a monthly rate a few minutes ago, and after telling him it would be about $2100 plus, he hit me with the porn stars line, best I can do is $1300. Well, good luck then sir, have a great day. Our next post is by Maid of Clarity. So, like other hotels, we've been allowing guests to same day cancel without penalty if it's due to coronavirus. Not so great is that some guests will abuse this to escape the cancellation fee despite having zero COVID-related issues. Like a guest who called around 9 a.m. on the day of their Easter request an early check-in, was told that it was not possible, then contacted Agoda to get their money back under the lie of I can't make it due to COVID, even though they implied their intent to check in. And then there's this asshole, who I'll call Kevin McCharger back. He books and prepays for his reservation through Foxpedia, stays with us and checks out, and everything seems pretty routine for this person. That is, until about a month later, when Fuckspedier emails us saying we overcharged their virtual card. For what? We refused and stood our ground, so they go ahead and deploy a hydrogen bomb on our property from their bomber, our mutual guest. By which I mean, they send us a charger back. It's then that I see that Kevin used the sex flex policy and additionally cite no services were provided to get his money back, even though he obviously stayed and used the room for the duration of their stay, as the paperwork that they filled out, initialed, and signed shows. Fuck Fuckspedia, they're fucking cancelled. #FUXPEDIAISOVERPARTY etc. And also, fuck guests who abuse the generosity of small business hotels to stay with a net $0 cost. Our next post is by Maid of Clarity. So a couple years ago, when I was starting out as a night auditor, I was checking this family of four in on a sold out night, and I see that they're coming all the way from New Zealand. We are in the western US, cool. I check them into the last room that's available, which is on the second floor. The moment I tell them their floor and room number, the father, we'll just call him Kyle McDadjoke, who was in charge of the rees, looks at me like I just slurs at him and his family. The guy goes into a small rant, complaining that because he booked the room 2 months prior, he should have a room on the first floor. Well buddy, sorry I didn't know that it somehow worked that way. There's no request for a ground floor room in the reservation notes, and you are literally the only arrival I have on a sold out night, so this is 0% my fault. What were you doing in those 2 months instead of contacting us to make such a request? I offer to haul their bags up the stairs, we have no elevator for them, which they accept, and I never heard back from them for the rest of the night at the least. Lesson to guests, if you're booking a room in advance, you need to tell us any special requests you have, we are not psychics. If you booked through Xfisha or Nooking.com, they have messenger features that you can use to communicate with us, and failing that, the hotel likely has a phone number, email address, and or website contact form you can reach to let them know what your requests are. If you book weeks in advance and wait to tell us at check-in what your requests for floor, room location, or accessibility are, you're not allowed to complain if we can't fulfill them, because the last room available is that poorly sound insulated room that's next to the street. Our next post is by Mr. Brannigan. This happened a month or two ago, but I never got around to writing it up. A truck pulled up, and a couple guys got out. We'll call them A and B. Our interactions all take place through our small night window because pandemic. A walks up holding a phone, talking to a woman on speaker. It becomes readily apparent that A and B don't know each other. B is stranded, and his phone is dead. But wait, there's more. He's stranded, his phone is dead. A is on the phone with B's sister, trying to help the guy out. The sister wants to pay for a room for the guy, but we don't take cards over the phone. I suggest she book a room for him through a third party, so she can prepay. Then from him, I just need ID and a card for incidentals. Oh, but it turns out not only is his phone dead, he also left his ID at some store, and doesn't have a card or even any cash. At this point A is getting frustrated. He says having to talk through the window is stupid, and wants to come into the lobby. No, the lobby is closed. In case you missed it, there is a pandemic happening. So B tries to hand me his phone to charge. 1. I don't touch guests' phones. 2. No, you're not just going to hang out here while your phone charges. And I'd bet my bottom dollar, if I'd let the guys in, A would have noped out, and B would have become my problem. If you get a room, I'll give you a charger and you can keep it, because lost and found is overflowing, but you need to have a room first, you can't just loiter. So then B and his sister start trying to pressure A into letting them book under his name, and him putting his card on file. I had kind of been a dick the entire time, and honestly I was a bit surprised he was even the kind of guy who stopped to help B in the first place. Maybe he was just being a dick because he was at the end of his fuse with the situation. He lays it all out. Dude got himself stranded with a dead phone. Lost his ID at a store. Doesn't have a bank account or anything. With that lack of responsibility, I just wasn't willing to put his own name and card at risk for the guy. Nobody put me in this situation but himself. He kind of summed up what I always feel. Working in economy hotels, I've heard a lot of sob stories over the years. Sometimes I feel for folks, and I'll bend the rules for them. But you can only bend so much before it breaks. Our next post is by Kritengiral. So I went up to the 15th floor to take keys to a guest wanting to change rooms, and the elevator got stuck on the way back down. I have been in here an hour and a half so far, and neither security nor engineering can get the doors open because I'm stuck between floors. They were able to pry it open just enough to slide me my cell phone. I'm now waiting for the elevator company to send out a repairman. There has also been mention of possibly having to call the fire department if the repairman can't fix it right away. Sigh. I will update in the comments. Our next post is by Tabakat929. Pardon moi, I just need to vent. On July 3rd we had a 30-day reservation come in for our hotel for this guest through a notar. Her card was marked by them as invalid and the guest updated her card to the system, but was still showing invalid. I believe a CVC was missing, as this is usually the issue with this error message for this site. I didn't want the guest to lose her reservation, as night audit may have cancelled the booking for the GTD being invalid, especially on a busy weekend. Looking back now, I should have just let NA cancel the damn thing. I called her to make sure she was still coming, and let her know her card was marked invalid, and she got upset and immediately started arguing that she updated it. I explained it was probably just missing a number or something, but that I didn't want her to lose her reservation if she still had plans to come, because it was a holiday weekend, and as we were very busy, no shows were cancelled. She said she was still coming, so she gave me a card to put on file. I explained that the card would be charged for one night, to verify and hold her room, and she said she was okay with this. Because her reservation was for check-in the 7th of March 2020, and she said she was still coming, I said we will see you later, thank you, and she was polite enough at the end of the call. The next morning, she had not checked in, and when I came in at 3 PM, was still not in house. I was surprised, and even told the first shift I was surprised she didn't show up as I had talked to her the previous night. Because she never came, or even called the hotel to communicate that she would be a day late in her arrival, her ease was checked in for the night of the 3rd, in anticipation of her arrival, and then checked out, and marked as a no-show the following morning at 11:30 AM, after our checkout time. The guest and her father arrived at 6-6:30 PM the evening of July 4th for check-in. The father said his daughter had a room reserved, and asked us about moving truck parking, and I explained where he could park a moving truck on property, and he was very pleasant. Then he left, and his daughter came in. She said her name and I remembered what happened, so I began to explain that that reservation was already checked out, since she was a no-show. She immediately became very disgruntled, and I explained we could book another room for her, if she would like. She literally just stared at me for a few seconds, visibly angry, and making me very uncomfortable, so I prompted her by asking what can I do for you? She didn't answer me, she just grunted like an adult child, and left the hotel. I continued with my paperwork for the evening, when she came back a few minutes later, and said I'm trying really hard to stay calm right now. I apologized and explained that I couldn't restore her reservation, again explaining why, and let her know she would have to have called us to let us know if her check-in date was going to be a day after what was set, so we could help her keep it. She was upset, and asked what our rate for the 30 days was, and I told her, but it was significantly higher than what she already had reserved. I explained last minute bookings can be higher, especially since it was a holiday, but she could check the OTA she originally booked through if she needed a lower rate. She left again, very upset, saying that she would be back. Then her father came in. He started telling me his daughter was having problems communicating because she had just moved and was very stressed, how that is my problem, I don't know or care, and he asked me how were we supposed to know we would have truck and traffic problems? I wanted to put that right back on him so bad, but didn't. How the hell were we supposed to know, since neither of them told us anything about it? And on what planet is it okay to just show up whatever date you want to a hotel? So disrespectful. Again, I explained the policy for no-shows, and why I couldn't check her into that reservation. While I was explaining our policies, he kept interrupting me, then finally went to leave, and I said in the future, you need to call the hotel to let them know if you aren't arriving on the day you reserved for check-in, so we know you are still coming. But he cut me off again by yelling that I needed to shut the hell up, then walked out. Absolutely end of the damn line with me. I just sat here politely trying to help you, and your entitled adult brat out for you to yell at me and tell me to shut up because you can't take responsibility for your own mistakes. At this point, it was obvious she did not want me to help her solve her issues. If she had, she would have stepped outside, rebooked her room, and checked in without the childish tantrum and attitude. She only fixated on her anger over losing her original reservation, and the behavior they displayed is not tolerated at our property. So I walked out of the hotel, followed him outside, and let the father know that that kind of disrespect and behavior was not accepted at our hotel. I asked them not to come back, and to not worry about rebooking here as I was going to report to the O to their behavior. The father was standing by his car, and lifted his hand at me, and said you come here, then started walking toward me, motioning for me to come to him so he could. What? Slap me? Lol. I told him I would absolutely not be approaching him, and that they needed to leave property as I would not be checking them in for their behavior. They continued to yell at me, and I simply said, if they did not leave I would have no choice but to call the authorities. I then went back into the hotel and locked the front door because at this point I was very uncomfortable and didn't feel safe knowing how angry they got over that, and called the OTA to report the behavior as guest misconduct. They did not return to the hotel. As far as I know, they are now on the DNR list, but my general manager requested I report them to guest relations for their behavior. They also emailed my GM saying they were going to be reporting me, and this was the report they shared. The guest stated that he and his daughter were driving over 1,000 miles to the city area and had made a reservation through OTA to stay at this property for 30 days while they look for a house. The guest stated that their moving truck broke down in another state and they had to stop. The guest stated the GSR, that's me, called his daughter at 11 p.m. ehhh, try again to make sure they were still coming. The guest stated his daughter told the GSR that they were still coming and to keep the reservation. A technically true, failed to mention it wouldn't be until a full day later. The guest stated they arrived between 6 and 6:30 a.m. ehhh. Another lie, it was 6:30 p.m. the following day, Independence Day BTW, and found that their reservation had been cancelled. The guest stated they tried to work with the front desk to reinstate the reservation. You mean by yelling and grunting like a child when I inform you what happened? HMM. Okay, but were told that to rebook for the same dates it would be over $1,000 more than what they had originally been quoted. The guest stated at that point the GSR was extremely rude and did not allow him to finish his sentence before speaking over him. The guest stated the GSR just kept cutting him off, and the situation escalated to the point that both of them were raising their voices. The guest stated that he is a veteran. Okay, so that makes it okay for you to be an asshole and is not okay with being treated this way or spoken to like that in a situation where he is a paying customer. Guess what, dipshit? GSR are people too, who also dislike being yelled at and told to shut up when doing their jobs. The guest stated he does not care one way or the other whether the GSR keeps her job. Wow, what a piece of actual shit, but feels that she should have to apologize to him in front of a person in a position of authority for treating a paying guest the way she treated him. Are you fucking serious, boomer? The guest stated, if the company can do without the $2,000 he and his daughter were going to pay to stay there, that is fine. The guest stated his daughter received an email already informing the guests that they were no longer welcome at the property. Yes, you absolutely did. And PS, Mr. I'm a veteran and can be an asshole to customer service staff because of it. I not only owe you an apology, but a thanks. I made sure my report to corporate and my GM included the full story of you talking down to me like a piece of trash despite trying to help your pathetic entitled daughter. I'll be keeping my job, thanks. Also, thanks for reminding me, as a veteran on Independence Day, how people like you can be so entitled, miserable and angry, while also completely unable to take responsibility for your own laziness and incompetence. As for your apology, I'm sorry I went to any length to help you just to be shat on. Stop hiding behind your veteran status, and start showing you're an actual decent human being by acting like one. Being a vet is not free license to be a dick to others, because you didn't get your way and rant. Our next post is by Han Jobo. Not about a guest, but an associate. During the early months of COVID, we had to cut staff to a skeleton crew of myself, GM, sales, maintenance, exec housekeeper and two night auditors. My part-time night auditor was promoted to full-time. The first couple months he did above and beyond his expectations. Once we hit the beginning of spring he started to show cracks. He would often speak of his frustrations with maintenance and exec housekeeper, how they don't do anything. I stamped it out fast. He then began to say the same about me to my DOS. When I asked him about it, he didn't say that he was saying this about me. I told him it had to stop, because the company was looking at him as a possible supervisor. Supervisors drop attitudes. There were three nights where he refused to come in for his night audit shifts, making me do the shifts. I wrote him up all three times. In my company, that many write-ups in a short period, it's an automatic let go. He still was scheduled. He tells my DOS that he was taking my job and getting me fired. He has also told DOS that I'm never here and I never work past 40 hours. Even when I stay after to help housekeeping or do laundry when it's a mountain. My DOS never said anything to me. I had to learn this from my grams. He told the housekeepers that I'm never here and that I never do anything. My housekeepers never said anything. He has emailed associates at our sister hotel. He called me the other day asking me to cover his shift after I had done a 10-hour day. After I was already two glasses of whiskey in. His reasoning, some shit came up at home. I told him I couldn't cover it and to call a night audit early. He calls my GM and puts in his 2 weeks because I'm unreliable and have let him down on multiple occasions. He later called me and said he was fucking done. That I'm never here and has never worked anywhere, that a manager doesn't do 40 plus hours. When I tried to tell him my hours compared to his and the history that has worked here, he hung up. My GM came in today, asked me to cover his night audit shifts, and then said I'm going to ask him if his 2 weeks are for sure. I have never felt so discouraged to work in my life. The company tells me they see me as a future Grams. If this is how I will be treated, I don't see my future here being much longer. Has anyone else gone through something like this? Any advice is appreciated. Thank you, Reddit. I love you. Our last post is by K. Will. Omgsagud. So, I'm a night auditor. We've had this nice, older lady, late 50s 60s, staying with us for a week or so, now. She has 6 kids and they've been rotating through visiting. I did my walk of the property just now, and as I'm coming back, Granny is in the parking lot wandering back and forth with her phone. I'm walking toward her, and a part of me knows what's happening, but I don't know for sure. Me, everything okay, miss? Guest, where's that Pokemon? Me, now grinning, I thought that's what you were doing. UHM. Well, I know the fountain is a Pokestop, guest. Yes, yes, I got that already. Now, apparently, I need to take a picture of a snake, or something. Her daughter has been smoking weed off to the side throughout. She pauses and rolls her eyes. Daughter, mom. Mom, can we go inside now? Guest, no, I need to catch the snake though. Daughter, mom, at this point, I need to flee, before I die of laughter, me, UHM. Well, miss, if you are up later, feel free to check out the hallways for, UHM, Ekans. Guest, snakes in the hallways? Me, to be honest, I usually find UHM, ghosts in the hallways, when I play. But, sure. Snakes in the hallways. Maybe. Have a nice night, then I fled to a nearby stairwell, where I could continue to watch her roam around the parking lot as her daughter got more and more frustrated. Most adorable thing I've seen all pandemic. TL, doctor, cutest granny trying so hard to get an Ekans in my parking lot. Bless. Update, her daughter gave up, and went to bed. She's still wandering the hallways, and outside for a smoke every now and again, plugging away. She asked me, if it was okay, that she stay up to play Pokemon. I said, sure, as long as she doesn't make too much noise. She hit me with I'll have you know I used to be a night auditor, when I was younger, and I would never wake a guest. I said, okay, then. Really brings a smile to my face. That's it for Edit Reddit. I hope you enjoyed. Please leave a good rating, as that really helps me out.